Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Stay hydrated when the heat is on. It's going to last through Monday and probably another heat wave coming in by the end of next week, but we shall see. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 23rd and 24th. When the heat is on, the cold water upwelling is occurring. Now we're going into our second week. Captain Scott Newhall, timeout charter, is an expert putting fish in the box and on ice during the upwelling. He's going to be joining us a little later in the program to talk about fishing the upwelling, some tactics, techniques, and some of his favorite baits and where to look for the flatties. In our next couple of segments, a very special guest, he's waiting outside in the lobby, is John Wenkos, owner of Holtz Boatworks there, 1301 Tuckahoe Road in Marmore. We're going to talk the long history of Holtz Boatworks, Holtz Boats, boat maintenance, boat troubleshooting, and the outstanding list of services offered by Holtz. And also, this is from my end, gets me bouncing off walls here in the studio. Sorry, Chris Coleman over there on the other side of the wall. John's extensive around-the-world big game fishing experience. But right now, I want to do a shout-out. Very, very long-time friend, acquaintance in the fishing tackle industry going on 20, 23, 24 years. A big shout-out to a frequent guest on Rack and Fin. I say frequent, maybe twice a year on Rack and Fin Radio, John Prochnow. Yes, he is the R&D director for Berkley, the bait division. Yeah, you heard that right. Power Bait and Gulp and myriad other projects this man has undertaken have been very successful. Those two are he's most known for, but he's been behind the scenes on many, many, many projects affecting in a positive way fishing around the world, both fresh and salt. Well, this past Tuesday at ICAST down here in Orlando, I didn't make it this year, did not make it this year. John Prochnow was inducted into the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. Prochnow, I'm going to send you this podcast. You'll hear it. Very proud of you, man. I remember when you first started there. I'm down there with Dick Wood, Jack Neal, Steve Brank. If it were watching you, you took over. And people, long before Power Bait, there was Strike. John came on in time. He's a brilliant chemist. Got Strike back on track. Power Bait followed. Then Berkley Gulp followed. And it's been balls to the wall ever since. John is not only a gentleman, volunteers a lot of his time, involved in charities, and he is one hell of an angler. Okay, man, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. John Wenkos, come on in the room, John. Holtz Boatworks. Be right back.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We're talking kids of all ages and blowfish. Okay, blowfish, simple but fun and great eating, and everyone can catch them. Joining me live in the studio now for round two. It's like Rocky. Rocky 2, Rack and Fin Radio 2 is John Wenkos. He is owner the Holtz Boatworks, 1301 Tuckahoe Road in Marmora. Long history of boatworks, boat sales, boat building in the Cape May area. John, thanks for joining us again in the Rack and Fin Radio studio. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good.
Good to see you make your way back here to Northfield. And by the way, listeners, this man is wearing a shirt. He says it's Barney. I say it's royalty. That is one eye popper there, John. Did you pick that up this morning on the way? I had a great guy. When you walked in the studio, I went, whoa, man, this guy is royalty.
Barney was purple. You got to remember Barney.
Listen to me, for 2 months before the tranny dropped, hey, $250, I picked up this Chevy van that was painted the Barney color, had rod racks in it and back, had a pull-out bed. I'm all the way up in the Delaware Water Gap, and the tranny dropped in the Worthington State Forest parking lot. After that, I haven't been by that color. Well, John, let's talk boating, Holtz Boatworks. Listen, we're in the meat of the boating season. Hopefully, everything's firing on all cylinders, unintended. But boat maintenance, critical, the point where you cannot ignore the slightest little thing, put it off till tomorrow, because that's how Sea-Tow and Towboat US make their money. Correct, John?
That would be correct, and we're awful glad that they're out there to help us when we need it.
Oh, twice I was on boats that had to use it. Used Sea-Tow and Towboat US, both were on time, both were courteous, both were, you know, great, and got us in where we had to go. You don't want to see them, and you want to be fishing. You want to be diving off the side. You want to be having a cocktail on a pontoon boat. You know, you charter a pontoon party boat, so to speak, and there you go. Well, John, Holtz Boatworks, been around for a long time. You told me, listen, I had no idea, and I've read The History of Cape May, Book 1 and Book 2. Holtz was a boat builder here in Cape May County?
Holtz originally was a boat builder. Located on Cedar Swamp Creek, they built Holtz boats, and that would be over 100 years ago.
Now, were these barge-type boats, fishing boats, commercial boats?
Jersey fishing boats, mainly. I mean, they were 30, 35-feet boats. They weren't big boats.
Mm-hmm.
And the old-fashioned New Jersey wood boat.
Now, the evolution, or the devolution, say, from the boat building to boat maintenance, boat servicing, what's the deal with that?
Well, I don't really know the timing on it, but that was 60, 70 years ago any which way, mm-hmm. and got into the boat servicing business.
Now, you became owner in February 20?
February 20.
And I understand you were from the automotive business before, had a significant number of dealerships, so you're familiar with service.
That's correct.
Retired successfully, people, from the cutthroat automotive business, and believe me, I have personal and professional experience with that. What made you buy what made you get in the marine service business, John? What were you thinking? What were you not thinking? What was it, a whim? What'd you do?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I was a customer, and I knew the quality of the work there. I knew the quality of management there, and I was there one day just shooting the breeze, and I saw that it was for sale. And the owner was a gentleman by the name of Tom Tower, who was a true gentleman. And we sat down, and in about 20 minutes, we worked out a deal for me to purchase it.
Time out. In 20 minutes, you worked out a deal to purchase Holtz Boatworks. Listen, it's on 6.5 friggin' acres, buildings with infrared light heating so you can work on the boats. 20 minutes?
Yeah, that would be about it.
Is that how you pitch franchises in the car biz, the brands?
If a transaction is going to be long and protracted, it's got to be for a more complex business. This is kind of a simple business. We want to service your boat.
Mm-hmm.
We want to repair your boat. And over the winter months, we want to store work on your boat, do the things that are necessary to bring it back up to 100%.
But Mr. Weingosh, you were retired. You were retired and you're young enough to, and listeners, we're going to get into this in another segment. This is a fascinating man. We happen to know some same people in different parts of the world here on the fishing end of things. You're retired. You're an offshore fisherman. You have the Royal Slam under your belt. We'll get into that in another segment. Again, just fascinating. Again, what made you want to get back in the grind? I mean, this is like a part-time gig, Jettis.
Well, for my entire working career, I said that my greatest fear in life would be to wake up and ask my wife where she wanted to shop today. So I needed...
That's impetus enough.
I needed to get out of the house. I love the business. I enjoy boats. I've enjoyed them my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, this is a fun business, and it's a good one.
We're speaking with John Wenkos, owner of Holtz Boatworks, 1301 Tuckahoe Road in Marmora, round two. This is round two with Tom P of Rack and Fin Radio. John was gracious enough to come back in. John, I owe you a fist bump on that. Oh, man, what else? Got it going. John, you have it's a lean, tight, seamless machine down there. Personnel-wise, you have that big lift. You can handle boats 50 feet. Now, that lift was just all refurbished?
They're completely rebuilt.
So your GM down there is who? Now, the former GM, I understand, is now a consultant. What's the deal? Go through the hierarchy. Well, listen, this place it's seamless. It's out there. It is primo. This is, you're in, the work's done, and you're out.
Well, our general manager was a fellow by the name of Tom Oakes. Tom Oakes had been there 30 or 40 years. He had owned it for a while. He sold it to Tom Tower, but continued to manage it. He's known throughout the area. He's a high-quality, high-caliber guy who our customers just like to do business with him. And Tom is slowing down a little bit. We're all getting older, and he's on a part-time consulting basis.
Getting
now.
Older, man. You look like you can kick Apollo Creed's ass, bud.
You're
in great shape there.
Only if he's lying on the canvas.
Now, critical. Again, the way the power plants are now, your engine mechanic or mechanics, who are they? How long have they been doing it? And can they handle inboards, outboards, the works?
We can handle anything that's built for specific repairs or servicing. Servicing is not a problem. If we run into a repair issue, we will bring in certified mechanics for whichever motor that may happen to be, outboard or inboard.
So you have access, again, to the Yamahas, to the Merc, to all involved?
Anything that's, if it's floating, we're going to take care of it.
John, another key thing, installation of electronics, vital. What boat doesn't have electronics? Some guys want to customize their own electronics package. You do that?
We have a working relationship with Martec Marine, and they've been in the area for a million years. They're high-quality people with the best technicians and access to all the latest in electronics.
So on the overall, it's been a smooth, when you purchase it, a smooth transition, just firing on all cylinders as we go?
Well, relatively. I mean, like every other business today, when we need extra help, it's not really readily available, but we're going to do the best we can all the time.
Yeah, things like woodwork, teak work, fiberglass of all things. I've seen some fiberglass jobs. The person who did that should be in a lockup somewhere. I'm not going to say where, in different parts of the country. Slap job put together. Yeah, fly by net things, I guess. Fiberglass important.
We have in-house very, very skilled fiberglass and paint repair. If we do the work, you'll never see it. You'll never know it was done.
In certain instances, though, you said, like for example, teak work, carpentry work, will you sublet that out? But they have to be some very high standards, the whole standards,
only,
correct?
Only a master carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. We have somebody that's in there now installing a teak deck, and the workmanship will rival anybody in workmanship.
John, now again, people are out there on their boats. They're offshore fishing. They're inshore. They're just cruising. For I guess it was 5 or 6 years. I love doing this. I did the Dock and Dine column for it was a Fisherman Magazine sister publication called Boater's Digest. Boy, that was fun. I get my little bow rider, little 125 Chrysler Force on the back. Again, cheap EF, which never gave me any problems. But now the boating, it's going on, and people aren't thinking. They're not planning ahead. Again, we're going to get to that a little later on, listeners, but noticing something wrong right off the bat, a little misfire, a little this, you have to get it taken care of as soon as possible. And for the people that can do it themselves or fancy themselves, another thing I found out, auto mechanics and marine mechanics, two entirely different schools.
Well, not
that
necessarily. The best mechanics are intuitive.
And good point.
They're going to sense what's wrong with an engine, and they're going to be able to diagnose it. Now, if it's a major repair, then we got to figure that one out and. Some we can do a lot of it. What we can't do, we'll bring people in.
John, the manufacturers, again, your Mercurys, your Yamahas, Suzuki's, whatever, are they constantly sending, because everything's computerized, as you know, are they sending out to your service, who's your service guy, Tom Coker, correct?
Joe Coker.
Oh, Joe Coker?
Yeah.
He's one of the best around. He's been around a while, has he not?
If there's something going on with the boat, Joe knows what to do with it.
I had more than three, but less than five people tell me that who've been in the industry in the Cape and also up into Atlanta. His name's around.
Oh, yeah. Joe's been in the area for a million years,
mm-hmm.
and he's just knows.
How'd you snag him at Holtz? How'd you get him to Holtz? Was he there when you got
Well, I knew Joe from before, but he went to work for Tom Oakes, and he's been there quite a few years now.
So are the manufacturers, do they send out bulletins, like service bulletins, things like classes, whatever, like troubleshooting things? Is that a concept? Or how do you keep up with it?
Yes, they do, but not to us. I mean, we do not sell. When you come in, we're not going to try and sell you a new engine.
Right, yeah.
We're going to try and fix what we are. We're going to use the technology that's available to us. or reach out to get more technology.
John, the boat situation, you mentioned sales. How apropos is this? That's why this guy is the wizard. He is the wizard of the water, I call him. That shirt, man, you're killing me. I want to take that shirt. I'll trade you. This is an old U.S. Real Fishing shirt. What do you think?
No.
Okay, there we go. But, John, the way the boat sales have or have not been. Now, with COVID ending, I worked two or three boat shows this past winter into early spring. There were some, I never saw this before at the Atlantic City Convention Center. Were you there? Actual lounge spaces where there used to be boats. There's still a pretty good amount of boats there. And I saw some sales being made and some big sales. But the past, I would say, two or three years, repowering has become, you love the hull. You maybe want to get a new boat. But, John, these things were even what I would call like garbage scale. They were getting above, over list price. Sticker price on a car.
Like everything else with the supply chain, boats, particularly small boats, have been in short supply.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, repower becomes a very, very viable option.
Sure.
And renewing the boat itself. I mean, we can take the nicks and the bings out and mm-hmm. make the hull new, and then it's a question of getting an engine to repower. And higher horsepower outboards are in short supply. So,
man, this is a tough gig. If you want to get a boat now, John, just prognostication. How do you see this playing out? Is this going to be a problem for with the chips to another year or 2 years? What do you think?
Probably for the next year or two. What did happen because of COVID is a lot of people who wanted to travel are now staying in the area. And as such, they're looking for recreational pursuits. So they're buying small boats. Buying homes,
mm-hmm.
we're all aware of the real estate values on the Jersey Shore.
Tell me about that one. John, before we get to break, one final question. We're speaking with John Wenkos, Holtz Boatworks owner since 2020. Got into it, went from, I guess, would you say frying pan into inferno insofar as being busy and the intensity, it's nonstop, or you're just loving it, man.
I enjoy
it. It's just like a fun retirement.
I enjoy it. I mean, I look at a boat and say, what can we do to make this boat better? I have done some rehabs on my own. As a matter of fact, several. And we want to do prime work.
I expect no less. If people are up against a break, grab that rubber. People say, what time would you get? Cup of Java, man. And there's no such thing. It should be illegal. Decaf coffee. Again, unless you have a ticker problem. To me, it's like no fat. Do you ever have no fat Entenmann's? An Entenmann's pound cake. Michael, let me tell you something. You try to cut that, it collapses on itself. And if you can get through it, you hold it up, and it sticks to the blade. Little non sequitur. Grab that cup, grab that rev. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
We're Town Square Media, and along with the awesome radio station you're listening to right now, we're publishers of best-in-class national entertainment brands like Taste of Country, Pop Crush, and more. And when combined with our local brands, we can reach over 70% of consumers in our community. At Town Square, all this digital clout puts us in a unique position to help local businesses grow with powerful marketing solutions. In addition to local radio, we're experts at web design and SEO, plus targetable advertising solutions like streaming TV, addressable geofencing, YouTube, Snapchat, Facebook, Spotify, search engine marketing, and so much more. That may sound like a lot of buzzwords, but really all that matters is we can deliver a relevant and ideal target audience to your business with data-informed decisions. No guessing, no waste, and you gain a trusted marketing partner with Town Square Media.
Take your business to the next level. Call our director of sales, Jim McLean, today at 609-910-5247.
Healthy life.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of the July 23rd and 24th. Live in the studio, John Wenkos, owner of Holtz Boatworks, 1301 Tuckahoe Road in Marmora. Talking boat servicing, boat storage. John, I want to get into that just briefly. Again, the shrink wrapping and stuff. Maybe I didn't touch on it. I missed it because I'm all over the map, as you know. Listen, this man is very patient. Bottom work. The whole nine yards. It's more than bottom painting. Bottom work. Go into the Holtz, what you guys, the services you offer for that.
Well, if your boat is in the water and you've been bottom painting, over a couple of seasons, you build up a lot of bottom paint. So sometimes you have to get, we no longer can sandblast because of EPA, but we soda blast.
What's that?
A blasting material, it's some sort of like baking soda, if you will.
Okay.
So it's non-toxic. So we soda blast the hull, get it down to the fiberglass, then prime it and put new bottom paint on it. It's just necessary. It's a recommended service after a few years with the buildup of bottom paint.
Hey, John, question. Ed Holtz, if the customer wants Pettit as opposed to Interlux or vice versa, is it up to them?
Absolutely up to them. We will accommodate the customer in every which way possible.
Yeah, winter storage. What's the dealio?
Well, winter storage, we're going to bring the boat in. Because we're in fresh water,
you got a free flush.
Well, you got a free flush,
there you go.
If you will. And because we're away from the coast, the air is not salt laden.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bring the boat in. We're going to winterize all the systems. If you have a head, if you have a freshwater system, if you got a saltwater washdown, and obviously the mechanicals need to be winterized.
John, realistically, when do you recommend? Most of the boats, it's a lot of six pack guys I own and regular people like. Insurance usually lapses around the 1st of December, middle of December, somewhere in there. When do you recommend that service customers, new or repeat customers, start to call Holtz and like reserve times, reserve spots, reserve storage?
Well, we only have a limited number of space for boats undercover.
Okay.
After that, we're going to shrink wrap, but they're not going to be undercover. They're going to be outdoors. They will be properly mm-hmm. maintained, and we're going to recommend shrink wrap in just about every instance, just because it protects the boat.
John, to that before, this is I can't wait to get to this other side. We're going to talk about John's big game fishing around the world. That's so cool. That is so great. And that we knew a couple of the same people out there. But John, the building again with you said it's an infrared heating system or something. What happens in there? So I know you close around Christmas week, Vegas. But you are able to service boats through the winter then, correct?
We have a substantial building with infrared heat in it, and we can continue to do work all through the winter just by bringing boats in and out, but they are indoors. We can do fiberglass work. We can do paintwork.
Wow.
We can do if there's mechanical repairs, be it a manifold, be it an exhaust system, whatever it is, We can get to it, and we can continue to work in the winter so that you have use of your boat in the spring.
When spring gets here.
Spring and summer.
And when is, on the boating end from Holtz, in the Holtz universe, when does spring sprung? People usually start to show up and want their boats in the water, rather what, late March, April, May? When does it start?
It really depends on the weather. We get that nice spring weather, and everybody wants their boat.
Let's get out.
You know, when's the boat going to be done?
Mm-hmm.
So we're really, but if we get a late winter, then obviously nobody's thinking about the boat. It can get awful miserable in the water with the late winter. I mean, a 50-degree day on the water is tough, blowing.
Listen, again, even with the wellies, one guy said I look like a 300-pound snotsicle. It was cold out there, Tonga. Oh. It went 3 or 4 days in the 50s, mid-60s, and then we call it tog, but I was just on the side of the boat. They could have, like a Popeye cartoon. They're going to push me over. John, but again, we're going to get to the fishing. Before we do, again, you've owned Holtz since 2020. You've been a customer a long time. just from the 2 years you've been there, from what you were used to, the big changes, the progressions, the technology in the servicing business, is it accelerating even more and more at a more rapid pace?
There's still basic, you're talking basic services, bottom painting, waxing the hull, shrink wrap. These are all basic services.
Mm-hmm.
You get unique. For example, we've got a boat now. We're putting rudder seals in because the rudder ports were leaking. This obviously is an import boat.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do that type of maintenance, and if we can get to it in the winter, we're going to do it in the winter.
And you will with troubleshooting, you will have experts come in to hold standards for a certain...
We can diagnose most everything, and mm-hmm. as I said, with the rudder seals, there we could do that.
Okay, John, now let's get to Mr. Wengos's experience around the world, big game fishing. A very, very small, a minuscule part of the saltwater fishing populace, would you say?
That would be correct.
What got you into that?
Well,
you go from bluefish to stripers to...
I went from...
Marlins, what?
Pretty much. I grew up fishing with my grandfather down here, and it was bluefish and weakfish.
You're a local guy from the get-go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And was always here, and we fished for... bluefish and weakfish, and not so much bass, because back when I was young, we had to go up to Barnegat to get bass.
And
bass fishing has picked up dramatically over the last few years. But I had an uncle who was an offshore fisherman and was pioneered down here, Roy Hackney from Hackney's Restaurant. Roy used to... He offshore fished before they knew what it was.
Mm-hmm. Now, offshore, again, primarily white marlin, tuna? What was the deal?
White marlin and tuna, there used to be an Atlantic City tuna tournament the last week of June. It was a 200-boat tournament. It filled up. And every year it was sold out. Now, the tuna fish, the cycle happened and we ran out of tuna. So all of a sudden, we didn't have a tuna tournament. Atlantic City had their own marlin tournament, and that was the first week in August every year, and had 150 boats there. When we weren't necessarily running to the canyons, which were 60, 70 miles, we could stop short. There was 28-mile wreck. I mean, the fish, there were more fish.
Now, becoming enamored with the billfish, when did that start in your experience that you said, this is my thing? There are 12 billfish species out there, people.
Nine?
Oh, I thought it was. I was just going to get a little mouse. Is that counting that little weird spearfish thing?
Yep.
That looks like a cartoon. But anyway, so when did that grab you? Where you've been to New Zealand, you've been to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, you've been, it seems, everywhere. Guatemala. Whoa.
I was very fortunate, and there was a local fisherman, fellow by the name of Mike Levitt, who is still a friend to this day.
Shout out to Mike!
And Mike was traveling the world before we knew what it was.
Wow.
I mean, and I'm talking 50, 60 years ago, when getting to Australia was a major deal. And I was lucky enough to have Michael mentor me,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to travel with Mike. As a result, I got to places that most people don't ever have the opportunity of getting to.
So you are in the very select group that have a Royal Slam of billfish. Explain that, please.
Well, Royal Slam, there's 9 species of billfish. And that's...
You sure there's not 12?
I'm sure.
Okay.
There's 9 species of billfish around the world. I've been fortunate enough, because of the travel, I've caught all 9.
Now, that includes the west coast of California, down to Guatemala, Costa Rica. Where...
Yeah.
So it took you basically around half the world, more or less, no?
Well,
geographic-wise?
Geographically, more than half the world, because we were in Australia, New Zealand, in the Atlantic. We were in Madeira. So
the Azores, I always wanted to get there for. I'm enamored again with black marlin. Have you been to that?
Well, the Azores are big blue marlin.
Oh, blue marlin?
Black marlin only live in the Pacific.
That's what I meant. Okay, I'm thinking grander. I get confused. Grander black, well, grander blue.
If both of them, you know.
Your most challenging billfish and your experience. I mean, sizes vary. I realize that. The most physically taxing that you've caught.
An Atlantic blue marlin would have to be at the top of the food chain.
They just don't quit?
They don't quit. They don't. And the thing about billfish, and movies don't capture it, they're just exciting. They're magnificent creatures. They're in the air. They go down. They fight you. They greyhound. They do everything you could ever want or imagine in a fish.
As you mentioned Phil, John, the old man in the sea, Spencer Tracy. Was that a black or a blue?
That was a black. That was the world record black. It was caught in 1954 by a gentleman by the name of Albert Glassell, and he had a professional camera crew on board. It was caught in Cabo Blanco, Peru. And when they filmed the old man in the sea, they couldn't catch one on their own. They bought the footage from Glassell.
So, John, now, black, the blues, your experience with stripe, I caught one before, smaller one, but the striped marlin, they're badass, man. Plus, I think they are the most gorgeous color-wise.
Well,
they light up, man.
A striped marlin, interestingly enough, the DNA of a striped marlin is very, very close to a white marlin. It's actually closer than a Pacific blue to an Atlantic blue.
Get out.
But they are, in my opinion, they're nothing more than giant white marlin. And they're a wonderful fish because they're very aggressive.
Do you like or have a chance, rather, I should say, to chase white marlin off the Jersey coast?
Over the years, yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you done it recently?
No. I'd say recently. I stopped in 2018.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm seeing some years, because I do some work for a magazine, Offshore Reports, some years, some periods, be it August into September, whatever, they seem to be everywhere. They've reached almost the status of being a pest. Well, and other times, it's where are the whites? Where'd they go?
Well, they've been gone for quite a few years. Every so often, you'll get a good white marlin bite, but it's nowhere near what it used to be. One of the best white marlin fishermen in our area is Pat Healy, who's an owner of Viking Yachts. And Pat's a wonderful angler.
He is. And I remember I wasn't on a boat, but I spoke to some people with fishermen. The captain at the time, this is back around 2001 or two, I think, a guy named Donnie. And I think Jimmy Donofrio, retired executive director of RFA, was on a boat. Piled up the catch and releases on the whites. I mean, yeah. Healy's an animal.
Well, Pat's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And he's got a good crew, and he's got good anglers. But he himself is a very good angler.
Hey, join us on the Rack Event Radio Studio live is John Wenkos, owner Holtz Boatworks, 1301 Tuckahoe Road, Marmora. We're talking offshore fishing, John's passion, sailfish, Atlantic, Pacific, good old sailfish. I remember them watching Sunday on the American Sportsman, Kirk Gowdy. Things flying out of the water. Here I am. I'm a fat 10-year-old kid. Whoa, look at that. Have you had much experience with them? I know they're in your portfolio, would you actively, by choice, not to qualify for, the record book, so to speak, but would you go after them of your own volition?
Oh, I do every year.
Do you? Where do they go? Where do you go?
I fish Atlantic sailfish out of Cancun,
mm-hmm.
and I fish Pacific sailfish out of Costa Rica and Guatemala.
Whereabouts in coast?
And where?
Capo, where do you go? Capos?
No, Los Sueños.
Los Sueños. And what about Guatemala?
I forget the Puerto Juarez.
I'm thinking of Guatemala. Shout out to Captain Dave Scholl there and Captain Dennis Wheeler. But that's supposed to be one, the bull mahi capital of that part of Central America. That sail fishing there kicks ass.
Well, I had a gentleman years ago say to me, don't worry about catching fish where you live. They're only an airplane ride away. And he was exactly correct.
I like that. Now, John, one offer now. It's going once, going twice. I'm gonna keep plugging on this, people. I have my rod caddy certification one more time. So, on your next trip, free of charge, they'll stick me in a luggage compartment in the belly of the plane. I'll do it.
I will call.
Okay, you have my number. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. That was a very quick break. We're back with John Wenkos. Well, John, for thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin this weekend. Your next fishing trip is when? Come on now. Give it up. Give it up.
I have nothing scheduled. I'm going to wait for the bass to come in. Hopefully, they'll come in before Christmas.
Yeah, that's been, again, the striper, that's a whole other creature in and of itself where they're one part of the coast up there by, say, for example, Manitowan Shark River they're in. Down here, they're not. Down here, they're in. Up there, they're not. That's some crazy times, and there's that three-mile line. Hey, that's one of the things, too, where people are talking about, where are the bluefish? Just a little non sequitur here. I talked to some charter captains who are out beyond, well beyond a 3 mile, like dropping for sea bass or whatever, bunker all over the place out there. And so are the big bluefish. They follow the bait like anything else.
They go where the restaurants open.
There you go.
All fish do that. And, you know, we've been attacked by bluefish in the canyons.
I heard that, yeah.
And, you know, you say, oh, geez. But you want them pound for pound. No fish fights like a bluefish.
Yeah, they give it up. Well, John, before we close this out, service at Holtz, you treat the people like you want to be treated. You want service their boats like you would have your boat service, correct? Quality and service, keeping the customer happy is tantamount, correct? You're not a get them in, get them out type of place.
We want to do it right. We have a small staff. It's going to be done right. And if anybody ever wants me, my personal cell phone is on my business card.
Okay, there you go. Listen, it's Holtz Boat Works, 1301 Tuckahoe Road in Marmora, 609-390-3052. John Wenkos, thanks for coming in. Rack and Fin Radio, give me one of those. Give me the fist bump. And I love the shirt. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, Holtz Boat Works. Go with the best. Be right back.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. A guilty verdict for Trump White House chief strategist Steve Bannon for contempt of Congress after he refused to comply with a subpoena from the January 6th committee.
Bannon says he did not cooperate because he was covered by executive privilege for his conversations with then-President Trump. Federal prosecutors say given the fact that Bannon left the White House in 2017, that privilege did not apply in this case.
Fox's David Spunt, Bannon faces 2 years in prison. It's been sizzling hot in many parts of the country recently. Now it's the Northeast's turn.
The heat indices are definitely going to be in the lower 100s, so it's going to be a pretty dangerous situation as we go through the major cities on Sunday.
Bob Borovec with the National Weather Service and American Sydney McLaughlin shattered her own 400 meters hurdles world record last night at the World Championships. Her time, 50.68 seconds. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight, it'll be clear, warm, and humid, low 74. Saturday, very hot with sunshine, the high 96, although it'll be closer to 90 at the beaches. Clear and warm Saturday night, low 76. Very hot and humid Sunday, high 98 in the low 90s at the beaches. Use caution if outside for prolonged periods of time. Monday, there will be a heavy thunderstorm. I'm AccuWeather's Kerr Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That was John Wenkos, owner of Holtz Boat Works, 1301 Tuckahoe Road in Marmora. Never too early to start thinking about that boat maintenance. Again, any little problem pops up, I don't know if you want to try to do it yourself. Or, you know, go in and get it serviced. Never too early to think. Winter storage coming up to me. It's already the middle of August. That's the way our schedules are going. Speaking of the middle of August, it's happening a little early. It seems earlier and earlier. The upwelling, the southerlies, the southwest, southeast, whatever winds coming up, turning the water ice cold and making the flounder bite just pretty much shut down. But you still can catch flounder during this upwelling period. I think I talked to who was it? Miss Barnicot, Captain Lou. Tom P. The water went from 72 to 56 degrees. This was the other day. I says, "What?" Yeah, Lou Van Bergen. He's a guest on Rack and Fin once in a while. I said, "What?" He said, yeah. He said, the flounder fishing just shut down. That's a big-ass party boat. But you can target them. You can be successful catching fluke during this upwelling period. Takes a special technique, some tactics. Join us online right now. Frequent guest, Rack and Fin Radio. Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters, based out of Absecon. This man is an ace in the upwelling game. We're talking an all-star closer when it comes to catching fluke when the water is ice cold. Captain Scott, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin short notice. This was early. This was going to be scheduled in a couple of weeks. But I called you and said, Scott, water's freezing. What's up? He said, Tom P., let's do that segment now. How you doing, little brother?
Yo, Tom P., I'm great. How are you?
Oh, cold water, man. Fluke had mittens on. What's up with that?
You got that right. South wind, south and southwest wind. Prevailing summer breezes, the breezes and the wind, not just breezes. When you see it jacking up to 25, 30 out of the south, that is the big player in the upwelling game. And like you said in the intro, this can really, really put a damper on the fluke. You get a red hot fluke bite 2, 3, 4 days when you have a light east wind or northeast or even north. And all of a sudden, you get that a day of that southwest wind. It's the following day that you get out there and you, whoa, what happened here? You touch the sinker. You touch the fluke itself. And,
right.
And again, mittens, you're talking fur coats.
There you go.
It's crazy.
Well, Captain Scott, what actually, I don't say it's like the turnover in freshwater. You know, you get down here in South Jersey, that mid-October, third week of October, all of a sudden the bass bite, even the pickerel, like everything sort of shuts off for 3 or 4 days. The heavier water sinks or whatever, the warmer water sinks, cold water, and it's a mix. What exactly happens in this upwelling? Could you go into the physics of it?
Sure. Those particular winds cause the water on the bottom out in the ocean, it rises to the surface, and then the incoming tide brings it into the back bay. So in your listenership, in the Rack and Fin listenership, which is south and a little bit creeping into central Jersey, we're big backwater inlet fishermen. It's
right.
Biggest in the state. And when that water rushes in, you go from like low tide, you still might have 75 degrees at low tide, and all of a sudden you're looking at your temp on the sounder,
right?
And it's dropping at 72. Okay, 71. Or we're getting closer to high tide, 68, 65, 64. And then you're talking on the phone to your buddies that are actually out in the ocean, and they're saying, yo, Newhall, it's 57 degrees out here.
Exactly. That's what happens, now. Yeah. Scott, now the fluke gradually shut down, or once they'll activate until it hits a certain temperature, then boom, no more, man. The muzzles go on. What's the dealio?
It's temporary. It's a very temporary effect. So if you have an upwelled, if there's such a word, you have those cold water conditions, but they remain cold day in, day out. They will acclimate, is the best word I can choose for this. They will acclimate and they will begin to feed again. It's that first day, even 2 days, that is the most difficult. It's not to say you won't catch fish, but it's going to be a lot slower. And they're just not used to it. It causes lockjaw.
Right.
You're out on your charters, and all the charter captains, we talk about this together in our circles. You're having to explain to someone that yesterday, they heard how great the fishing was, and then day they get there, 24 hours later, the bite's a lot more sluggish, and you have to describe this like you just had me do, how the water dropped and why it dropped, okay? And, yeah, it's a temporary thing. So if you're fishing on day one of the upwelling, it can get tough. Now, the good news is, again, that they will start to bite in the cold water. They will start to feed once again, and you will catch fish. It's that first day. It's a shock to the system. They're
sure.
Fish. They're a creature of the earth. So,
well Captain, here's my situation. I have 1 day off, and that's and I'm going fluke, and come hell or high water, pun intended, high or low tide, whatever. And okay, how do you? The water's cold. Where are you looking for these flatties, and do you have to pretty much bump them on the nose with a bucktail gulp or a squid and killie? What's the deal?
And that's the million-dollar question. And you have one day, and it's, say, Saturday or Sunday, because most people fish on weekends, and you want to fish and you want to catch. So falling tide is best, without a doubt. So the ebb tide, I would say go out on the top hour of the top, the rise, excuse me, to your flood tide, and then fish the entire falling, because then your water temperature is going to warm up as opposed to get chillier. And as you get closer to falling tide, it'll be at its warmest. As that warmer sun-soaked HTO falls off those flats, it will gradually creep up in temperature.
Okay.
So now, you know, it's the mantra for fluke fishermen is top of the tide, top of the tide, top of the tide. Here, as you get to the lower portion of the falling, that's the tide that all of us so-called experts preach not to fish then as much. Well, it's the opposite during the upwell.
Exactly.
You want to fish that falling water. So that's one thing. The other thing is you can try to get into far back in the estuaries, into the nursery grounds, get away from the inlet right where the water is coming straight in from the ocean. And if you get far, far away, think if you use my area, I'll use Atlantic City Brigantine area as a good example. If you get back into Absecon, to Reeds Bay, to Absecon
Reeds Bay,
Bay,
yeah, I know, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All those places, and you start fishing 10 feet and the little potholes on the flats, there's a chance that those fish will be more active. They'll be hunting their forage, which is grass shrimp, small juvenile fish species, little crabs, all those things. They'll be more active. So that is one definite way to fish during the upwelling. Another way, and this is more aggressive. I'll say this is more aggressive. You can try to outrun an upwelling. So if you're willing to go in the ocean, so let's say you're in South Jersey and you have, if you're willing to go in the ocean, but go way out. So Atlantic City Reef being 10 miles plus out there, the further you get offshore, the less the sea breezes will affect the environment. So there is a chance you can outrun the upwelling. I'm not saying it will always work. Another way is if you can shoot down, if you're willing to really put some mileage, you can out of your chosen port. Waters off Cape May are not, and Delaware are not as effective as to the north. So you can look at the same charts that the tuna fishermen use. Those guys study those charts, those water temp charts, the eddies of the stream and the canyons and all that. Well, fluke fishermen can do that too. And the Cape May area sometimes is Teflon against upwelling. So, I mean, I know a lot of guys that will run out of, say, like a Summers Point or even an Atlantic City area, and they'll just go 30 miles southwest, and they'll hit a place like the Cape May Reef, or they'll head out to a reef site 11 and look for that warmer water there. It's more resilient. So that's another tactic. So if you're really an aggressive fisherman and want that success, you may need to be flexible. And you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it could be just going deep into the back bays far away.
Right.
That would be on the lower end, and the higher end would be running 30 miles in your boat, even trailering.
Yeah, those are the doormat hunters. But Scott, let me get this scenario to you. Okay, in the back, everyone all of a sudden knows this game. And your only option, I mean, you don't want to walk on boats as you're drifting. Your only option is to fish farther out by the inlet where the colder water is. Are those fish, again, they're not going to be as aggressive. Do you have to pretty much bump them to get them to hit? Are they going to be just like a tentative, like tap, tap, bite? What do you think?
They'll come after it the same way, but I would be more apt to do a longer setback to flip the bail wire open and free spool it back and let them choke down a minnow or a gulp and make sure it's there. Don't go largemouth bass on them and hit it right away, which you should never do in summer flounder fishing anyway. But let them have the full course meal.
Okay.
There's no rush.
Captain, would you recommend like one minnow or a 4-inch gulp as opposed to, I know you're a big bait, big fish guy. I know you're big with the 6-inch and 5-inch gulp, you know, the swimming mullets and the grubs. Or would you go smaller, again, that they're not going to be that aggressive, they'll still eat, but and they're going to be more tentative on the chew. What do you think?
I would definitely still keep the same offerings, the same thing you would use any other time that and you would prefer, any angler would prefer. Stick with that. If you can get them to bite, they'll bite that. I would not change bait size. Definitely not.
Okay, working a bucktail gulp as aggressively? Not like these the young guys with the bop, 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 bop. Or what do you think? Scott, how more of these? They're going to get, listen to me, you guys are all going to get tendonitis in a couple of years. I'm telling
you,
Scott.
I have. You know why? Because it works.
Yeah, so again, keep that aggressive action in the cold water?
Yes, 100%. You're either going to get the bites or you're not. And what I mean by that, to elaborate, is the tactic is so effective that if they're willing to feed, they're going to feed with that same effective tactic that an angler hones in. So don't change what's worked in this regard. No, don't do it. Keep doing the rapid fire, the snap jigging. It's extremely, extremely effective, especially for the young folks. Remember, anybody listening who's young, tendonitis sets in at the golfer's elbow and tennis elbow, average age 40. I got it at age 41. Pick your surgeon now, boys. Pick your surgeon now.
Captain Scott Newhall, timeout charter. Thanks for your tips. Listeners, you can catch fluke during this southerly upwelling waters colder, but Captain Scott gave you some hot tips where to go and what to use. Scott, thanks for joining us. Give that website phone number, please.
Timeoutfishingcharters.com. Phone area code 385-3729.
How's the lovely Melissa Alexander Scott Newhall and Michael Benjamin Newhall? What's the family situation, man?
They're terrific. We're going to keep enjoying summer, try to be outdoors as much as possible, fish, mountain bike, whatever, everything. We're going whitewater rafting a couple weeks. There's so much fun, Tom. Thanks for asking.
Hold on a second, Scott. Hold on. What? Yeah, let me see what. Oh, Scott, someone just handed me this note. Isn't that the guy that's always writing about trout fishing these days?
yeah. And then there's always that. If the upwelling's really bad, go trout fish.
Hey, we'll see you on Valley Creek, my brother. You take care.
You got it, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Have a good weekend. Captain Scott Newhall. Yeah, fishing the upwelling, man. That's it. It gets dicey. I mean, as Scott says, they're wearing fur coats besides the mittens. Be right back. Closing it out, Rack and Fin Radio.
The WPG Talk Radio app is your connection to South Jersey's talk station. Get free, unlimited local and statewide news from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Download all of our local shows as podcasts and more, powered by Ambient Comfort. For installation to repairs and maintenance, give Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling a call today at 856-213-6586. AmbientComfortNJ.com. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We are July 23rd and 24th. Get out there and enjoy. Yes, the fluke fishing is going to be difficult, but not impossible, man. A flounder, you got, as Captain Scott Newhall said, sort of got to tap them on the nose, but they will acclimate. This upwelling is going to last through, let's see, Monday. Hey, get out and enjoy anyway. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless our law enforcement. Stay hydrated. Very important. Very important. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.